Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Illinois improves to 6-0 in Big Ten play and wins their 11th game in 12 games, beating Michigan 68-53. It was not the heavyweight fight we wanted, and people had circled on the calendar for almost half a year here, Derek Piper, but Hunter Dickinson out, Illinois takes advantage, Kofi Coburn dominates in the post when he gets the ball, but credit Michigan, shorthanded without Hunter Dickinson, without Brandon Johns, who are coming back from COVID and haven't really practiced, so Juwan Howard didn't feel comfortable playing them. They gave Illinois a battle. This is a one-point game with about 6 minutes left, and then Trent Frazier took it over. Winning ugly, there's nothing wrong with it, Derek, but this was uglier than the score actually showed, but Illinois found a way to win, and Illinois can win ugly, right? Like, they can beat these, I'd say, bottom half, not top five teams in the Big Ten, even when they don't have their best performance. But what's your big takeaway here?
My big takeaway is if you play like that against Purdue, you're going to lose. That's my biggest one. And I think that is probably it's not the only thing to take away from this game. Trent Frazier as a closer, Trent Frazier's off-the-dribble game has been very, very impressive and deserves all the credit that he's getting. I think that the fact of Michigan out-rebounding you in terms of the offensive glass, like them getting 15 offensive rebounds on a night when they don't have Dickinson or Brandon Johns and Diabate plays 5 minutes in the first half, that showed Illinois was just lackluster in their intensity, effort plays, aggression, and you're about to play Purdue, who's really good on the backboard. And Kofi, I know his stat line looks great, and we can talk and break this thing down. I didn't think he was very good, particularly early. Like, I think that you look at some of his offensive boards, collecting his own misses, and pick and roll is still something he gets attacked at. So I know it's a negative take for a 15-point win against Michigan, which ultimately any win against Michigan, a chance to beat them, a lot of fans are going to take that. And, yeah, it does circle back to winning ugly is a characteristic of a team that is going to stack those wins and be at the top of the league. And there's something to be said of that. There's a lot of teams that can't do that. I just think that it was a little concerning the way that they – maybe let off the gas once they saw Dickinson wasn't in a jersey.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm thinking of other teams. Like, Ohio State has an off night, loses by 16 at Indiana, right? Purdue has an off night. They let Rutgers hang around, and they lose, right? They didn't have a Trent Frazier takeover. Jaden Ivey didn't do that in that game, and that's why they have a loss. Illinois, the last couple games, Kofi hasn't maybe been as good as he was before, but he's still getting double-doubles. Trent Frazier is taking over late in games. So I think that's the positive, is you're not having that bad loss that some of these other teams, I would say everybody outside of Wisconsin and Michigan State at this point, have a loss that you sit there and shake your head at. Illinois hasn't had those yet. And the great news, Derek, is for us and for fans, it sets up a monster game against Purdue on Monday morning, 11 a.m. tip-off here at State Farm Center. But that's the test, right? Illinois has played so far Nebraska, Minnesota, Maryland, Michigan, Iowa, and Rutgers. Only Rutgers is in the top half of the standings in the Big Ten. Arizona came to town, great game. Illinois didn't find a way to close that game. I expect a pretty good game, but I agree with you. If Illinois plays the way it did the last couple games where they got out-toughed, out-hustled at times, I think Purdue could come out of here with a pretty big win, right? I mean, Purdue is still very dangerous despite losing two games, and offensively they're far better than the two teams you just played.
Yeah, the last two you've played, especially with Dickinson out, it's been Kofi has been able to have some things come easy for him on nights when he hasn't had his best. that you won't see that against Zach Edey. You won't see that against Travion Williams. I think that I've been concerned throughout the season about this matchup against Jaden Ivey. I'd be wondering about putting him in ball screens or just attacking off the dribble and what that is ultimately going to look like. Now, Illinois, when they're on, when they're hitting shots, when they're locked in, this is a very, very good team. But they still relatively hasn't been all that tested. This is their second win against the KenPom top 50. And you look at the net, and Michigan's not in a good shape. Now they're 7-7, and you gave a good line there on the Big Ten standings and winning its top half team. So still a lot to prove for this team. And I'm still pretty high on Purdue. It's just like in terms of them winning the league, they're really going to need this game. It's a much, much tougher task than what we saw tonight. But credit to Juwan Howard for the game plan he had, for the way he had his guys ready to play. Like their ball pressure, what they're able to do in terms of really getting up on Illinois' guards. And we can talk more about this, but outside of Trent Frazier, it is showing that weakness there without Curbelo, that he's like the one guy that can go make a play consistently. Plummer can do it at times. I don't know that Grandison really wants to do that. Hawkins, we were talking off the air. That's a radio term, but off the pod about him being not that strong with the ball. So that's something that was exploited tonight, and that's still a lasting concern.
Yeah, and I'm not diving into the game. I want to dive into Kofi and Trent and all this stuff right now, but it just sets up the Purdue game. This is what it's all about, and for Illinois, I know every game in the Big Ten counts the same, right, in the standings. But if you beat Purdue, you improve to 7-0, and they're at 3-3. You have a 3.5 game lead over what I think is – one of the most dangerous teams in the country, especially offensively. So when we're talking about Big Ten title race, and Derek, you talk about resume, quad one win, all those different things, it's just a massive game. I think it's the Big Ten game of the year we got coming up, and Illinois found a way to set that up, but it's certainly going to be a much larger test. Let's talk about Trent Frazier. I know we've given him a lot of flowers here recently, and we should. But he is just so indispensable for this team. I mean, what they would be right now with Curbelo sitting on the bench if Trent Frazier didn't decide to come back for another year. He only had 2 points in the first half, but he shut down Eli Brooks for almost the entire game, 7 points on 11 field goal attempts. That's their leading scorer without Dickinson out, that he held to that. But also just the takeovers, right? This game is in doubt, 45-44 with just 6 minutes left. And Trent Frazier just takes over. 19 points Illinois scored, 19-5 run. Trent Frazier scored or assisted on all of those. Just an unbelievable pass to Grandison and another one to Demonte Williams. We found a closer. Illinois found its closer with Io DeSumo out. But I think you're seeing Trent in season here, Derek, take on a different role, right? I mean, during the first, 9 of the 10 that they won here, it was get the ball to Kofi, kick it out, right? Because teams are double-teaming him. And Plummer just went off. Now teams are starting to focus on Plummer and Grandison, shutting those guys down and really extending their pressure so that Illinois can't get the ball to Kofi. That happened tonight. Kofi should have gotten the ball a lot more than he did. But Trent Frazier, off ball screens, breaking down defenses, breaking down that pressure. He looks like a league guard. He's looking like an all Big Ten first or second team guard right now.
Yeah, it's a lot of the actions they ran for him freshman year, or just you think about him at the top of the key and playing off the dribble, and now it's just a guy that has a lot of experience under his belt, has improved obviously immensely defensively, and is playing with a ton of confidence, and he's accepted it, at least in terms of the backcourt, like the Batman role now, where that was Io and it was going to be Curbelo, at least in terms of being the facilitator and the guy orchestrating the offense. He's made a lot of really good decisions. His turnover numbers, he only had 3 today and 1 against Nebraska, and contrary to his assists, like that's a really good assist to turnover. He's able to rock people to sleep with his ability to cross over or sometimes deny the ball screen. And once he gets in deep, he does understand the corner pass to Grandison, and he's finishing pretty darn well. That was something that, earlier in his career he didn't do all that great. So he's been fantastic in that. And Brad even said afterwards, I probably didn't go to the ball screen and the pick and roll game enough early. And that was something that Trent just continues to show his ability to do. And now we wondered, closing time with this team, who's going to be the guy and what's that going to look like? And I think when we saw late against Nebraska when it was tight and this one as well, you feel a lot of confidence with the ball in Trent's hands, and you need it. You need it. And he has given you just so much because you can't really afford to be in a tight game and not have him on the floor. And that's you're asking a lot out of him. And it speaks to needing Curbelo back. Hopefully, you're not going to rush him, obviously, but also just Trent gutting it out and being a warrior and giving you everything he has.
I got to say, Brad Underwood rolled the dice because he only played Trent Frazier 35 minutes. They can't take him off the court right now. They can't afford it unless they have a decent leader. He really needs a break. He played 40 minutes against Maryland, 38 against Nebraska, 35 against Michigan. But when he's off the court and Damonte Williams has to handle the point, he's not comfortable. As you said, Coleman Hawkins is not comfortable with pressure in him. He just isn't strong enough or confident enough right now. And Jacob Grandison's had some issues with some turnovers here recently. So that's where you miss Curbelo. There's a ton on Trent Frazier right now. And I'll say it again. Anyone who's saying, oh, this team's better without Andre Curbelo, maybe for a game or two, it's going to be awkward if Curbelo comes back and when he comes back, Derek. But you need another guy that can create, because when the offense just goes stagnant like it has, you know, at times this season, and that pressure, Curbelo can easily break that by himself. Will he turn it over a couple times? Yeah. Because he's a high usage player. But that's where you really miss him. And if he comes back and gets in a rhythm, man, it's you have Frazier and Curbelo doing that. It's Illinois just becomes ridiculously hard to guard.
Yeah, we take a decent amount of pressure off of Trent Frazier's shoulders. And even if it is Curbelo doing that off the bench, and you would assume that that's what it's going to be early on, especially maybe it's something that as it stretches out, that's going to be Curbelo's role, similar to last year. But having someone who can break it down off the dribble and just – he doesn't even need a ball screen. He's just that quick with it and ability to change direction. And I know the turnovers were really ugly early on in this year, but that's someone that can create a shot for himself or break down the defense to where they have to rotate and somebody else is open. So Trent's really the only guy can consistently do that. Plummer can get to the rim here and there, and that is something he can do a little bit. But to this point, there's just a lot of weight on Trent Frazier's shoulders. And I had this thought today. We've covered this long enough to where I remember a day where Dan Dockich was pining for Aaron Kraft. There was a draft of college basketball players. I'd pick Aaron Kraft because of his intangibles, because of his defense, his assists, and all that. And it's like, Trent Frazier is a better version of that. Like, I'm not saying – like, each year in college basketball is different, and there's a lot of stars out there, even in this league, Ivy and Kofi and on down the list, Jonathan Davis. Trent deserves – and we keep coming back to it, I do at least – he deserves more national credit. I think that he's got the scoring. He's got the assists. He's the defense. You look at Eli Brooks going 3-for-11 tonight. That was his assignment. And this is a guy that just isn't getting that type of talk when he's on it. He's leading a team that is winning a bunch of games, and there's just a little bit of a comp there.
All right, I'm going to bring it up. Aaron Kraft got a lot of that attention because he's the try-hard white guy, right? Like, now he was great. Like, he was a great player for those Ohio State teams, and they could afford to have a guy who couldn't shoot as much because they had so much talent around him. You're thinking of Deshaun Thomas, Jared Solinger, all the Diebler, all those guys that were around him. And those were teams that won Big Ten championships, right? Like, Trent is on those teams, but it still feels like Illinois didn't truly have its arrival moment, or its arrival moments was so short last year with that Big Ten tournament championship that he hasn't built that up. But he's been there 5 years, right? Trent is one of those guys that opposing Big Ten teams got to be like, God, that guy's still there? Just like Brad Davison, just like, you know, some of the Jordan Bohannon, but he's better. He's better than those guys. And yeah, he's one of the – Brad said it today. He's playing like one of the best guards in the Big Ten. And think about, this isn't an especially strong point guard kind of league right now. Jaden Ivey's obviously an all-Big Ten player. But if you talk about point guards, Trent Frazier is probably playing as well as any point guard right now in the Big Ten. I'm racking my brain for the other ones. Ohio State's got the freshman, right? Wisconsin – Brad Davison, is he their guy? Like, Trent Frazier, if you had to pick a point guard, he'd be that guy. And beginning of the season, we probably wouldn't even said he's a point guard because Andre Curbelo is on this team.
Yeah, the guards that you go to, and they're different in terms of point guard. It's Johnny Davis and Jaden Ivey. In terms of actual like lead guards, I mean, it's hard to think. It's not Bohannon. It's not Jamari Wheeler. It's not Fats Russell. Like all around the league.
Walker, Michigan State.
Yeah. That's your guy.
Indiana does not have point guards, right?
No, they don't have point guards. They don't have shooting. Devontae Jones played well tonight, but obviously Trent over the course of the season has the edge there as well. So
yeah, he's just played unbelievably well. All right, Derek, just a few more quick notes on this game. Alphonso Plummer found a way to get 15 points, and Brad Underwood said after the game he'd like to see Alphonso pull the trigger a little bit more on his threes. Now, I will give him this. He's starting to make some buckets from two. I was just had the stats up here in a second. I'll get them. But he's making 3 to 4 buckets a game here recently, even though his three-point shot isn't falling. So that's good. He's finding a way to score. He's getting to the free throw line a little bit more. But he is 5 for 21 from three over the last four games. I think that's something about the defense in the Big Ten, the length in the Big Ten, the scouting reports in the Big Ten. But he's also passing up some shots, especially some corner threes. The guys are closing out on him, but there's threes he took confidently before, and he's just not quite taking those. I'd like to see him continue to take those. Like, he is so dangerous from three, and he's getting some of these passes, and he's just not rising and firing. And I think he can rise and fire over even some of this Big Ten length.
Yeah, definitely, and he has a value in the pull-up jumper or the occasional drive to the rim and finish, but it is a guy that doesn't need a lot of space from three, and if a hand's up, he elevates so well. He elevates in terms of his ability to get off the floor, but also how quick he gets up into his shot. You want him to be more confident or just more aggressive in that regard, getting those clips up. I mean, he took 5 threes tonight, but when those looks are there, you want him to be able to take those a little bit more aggressively. But
yeah. I don't mind when he shoots 8 to 10, right? Like, because sometimes he can start 1 for 5 and make the last three that he shoots.
Right. But to your point also, just like the volume of points, him showing up and giving you 15, even when the three's still not falling. Really, he's been in double figures 3 of the last 4 games, even without that three ball going consistently is good that he's not a non-factor because threes aren't going in.
Yeah, played 39 minutes tonight as well.
Defense needs to be better, though. A lot better.
Yeah, like he's starting to get through some ball screens, but it's just kind of the awareness sometimes. And there was one in transition where he just didn't stop the ball. It's awareness. I thought Kofi, first half, I thought Kofi's second half was much better defensively. But I just didn't think Kofi brought a lot of energy on that end. He's kind of – I hate when Kofi Coburn hunts blocks. I just think it just takes him out of the game, takes him out of rebounding. And when it's DeMonte and Grandison out there in the front court with him, it's just I think that puts Illinois at a disadvantage. He also looked winded early, but I thought in the second half he really brought the energy. Like, you could see Adam Fletcher was all over Kofi in the first half just because they didn't love his energy. It felt like the last couple games Kofi knew he was the heavyweight going up against a middleweight, right? And ended up getting his points, and I thought tonight especially – you know, offensively, he was really good. Second half, I thought he brought it and was really, really good. But it just felt like there were moments Kofi's just like, yeah, I'm way better than these guys.
Yeah, to his credit, he produced the numbers of I'm dominant against you guys. And Musa Diabate is like, I mean, he's huge. What am I going to do with him? And, I just think you put it in the context of the ultimate. And as you were harping on, like, the matchup of Purdue and what that means and what they bring to the table. You just know the type of game he's going to have to play to be able to put Illinois in position to win. And he didn't do that tonight, I don't think. But still, like, yeah, in the second half when he's able to get the ball in deep and whether it was Diabate out there or whoever they tried, like, he was dominant. He was dominant. But early on, like, it was kind of odd to see – balls come off the rim and go by Kofi, or not to see him instantly react towards it. Or there was a time in the pick and roll where Brooks came off and Kofi just stood there and watched him take a 12-foot jump shot with no hand up. And that was just kind of a intensity thing. I don't know if it was – I think it was him being tired, but also maybe it was not seeing – his guy, Hunter, I don't know if it's his guy.
It's like a racehorse. I used to say one of my favorite books and movies is Seabiscuit. And when Seabiscuit had to get, you know, somebody, he needed a horse that could push him. And it felt like Kofi tonight didn't have that horse that was going to push him. I mean, they were so pumped up for this matchup. Speaking of words about this matchup, Coleman Hawkins had many words for you guys yesterday. And not a great performance. He played 26 minutes, had 1 rebound, 1 point, just didn't look that comfortable out there whatsoever. And, you know, this was a matchup, I thought, actually, for him. You're playing Musa Diabate. You're playing Caleb Houston. Like, those are guys who are similar builds. And Coleman just didn't bring the boards is the thing that bothered him. That's where he's got to be at. I mean, he's been really good during Big Ten play. This is really his first bad Big Ten game. But it's just he's got to give that effort on the glass.
Yeah, and he had been doing that in the three previous games. And he had 8 rebounds in each of them. It was just tonight you knew it was going to be a tougher test, just kind of in terms of the athleticism he was going to face in Diabate and Houston. And the play that still stands out to me is when he essentially had the ball, but Jace Howard scrapped and dove on the floor and ripped it away and kicked it to – that was the 1 3-pointer Illinois gave up, right?
Yeah.
To Devontae Jones. So to play that many minutes and not get a board and see Michigan rack up 15 offensive rebounds, that's not what you want to see. And he also fouled Houston in the corner late. I don't know. The game, Illinois was in control, but trying to close that thing out, it was just a mistake that can hurt you in a tighter game or against a better team. So he still has to earn being trustworthy. He hasn't proven that yet in terms of consistency. And look, one bad game on a stretch where he's been playing pretty well, you don't want to knock him too hard. But yeah, he did have stuff to say before this game, and he didn't really bring it.
Yeah, that's where you got to back it up, right? You got to back it up. Lesson learned. But Illinois moves on with a win. All right, Derek, we've talked about. Oh, I do want to mention one more thing. Demonte Williams, great job on Caleb Houston, and I just took him out of the game, and that kid needs to come back to school for another year. He's not ready for the NBA. That runner game has got to quit. It's just not his game. Demonte does so many good things for this team, and he's hitting threes consistently. He's giving them 1 3 or 2 threes a game here and some clutch moments off some great Trent Frazier passes. But that off-the-bounce runner game, get in there, kick it out. Like, that's just, unless you can get a layup, that's just not his game.
Yeah, he had one of those layups, but there was the turnaround right hook, and there was another, like, I don't know if it was a runner or something that missed everything, but his 2-point field goal percentage has never been good throughout his career here, and it's about 25% last I checked, so not things you want to see from him. But that right hook from like 10 to 12 feet looks like hitting the wrong button on 2K, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt. Demonte and Jacob Grandison offensively have not been great here recently, but huge threes. Some huge threes and some huge moments late in these games. And, yeah, Demonte Williams this season, 24.4% from two. Steadily rising from three, though, 37.1%. So when you have Demonte shooting that, Trent 37%, Grandison 47%, and even with Plummer's struggles here recently, he's still shooting 40% from three. So this team is dangerous offensively.
Demonte clutch 3-point shooter. Like, yeah. What he's built, put together resume-wise in terms of final 3 or 4 minutes of a game shooting threes, like, that percentage is pretty darn high.
All right, Derek, before we get out of here, what are your thoughts on Illinois-Purdue? Obviously, if Illinois plays the way they did tonight, they won't beat Purdue, especially, you know, some defensive lapses at times today. But, like, the defense was pretty good. You got to score to keep up with Purdue, though. Purdue's so good. Sasha Stevanovic probably doesn't get talked about enough with how good he is from three, playing off all of those guys. Purdue does have some depth on their team. We know how good their posts are. And Jaden Ivey's – I mean, Benedict Mathurin's really good. Jaden Ivey's projected to go higher in the draft, probably having just as good of a season as Mathurin. That's as big of a test as you can get, especially a guard. Demonte Williams, I imagine, draws the assignment on him. That means Alfonso Plummer is probably going to be locked in on Sasha, right? Like, this is a game where they got to be locked in defensively. And we'll say that tonight, for the most part, they were pretty locked in on that end. So that's why you got to guard. That's why defense travels is your biggest defensive test.
They're a load offensive, the number one in the country in offensive efficiency for a reason. They have the posts. They have the shooters. They're shooting 40% from three. And then Ivy, just a bad matchup for Illinois, just like Benedict Mathurin was, like Johnny Davis, a bigger athletic guard against a fairly small backcourt for Illinois. So I'd be curious to see. Maybe it's Demonte that draws the assignment. You're probably got to throw a bunch of guys at him to see if you can slow him down. Would you try Trent? But that's just too, maybe a little bit of a.
That's a lot of size, yeah. He's giving. I'd rather just take their, you know, their lead guard out of the game, right?
Right. Yeah. I think Trent has seen a lot of Stefanovic and been able to quiet him, which is good. But yeah, it's a huge test. I know that Purdue, if you look at maybe the AP poll dropped a little bit, but their analytics are still great. And the idea of probably
– I said that. Ivy's their lead guard. Like, I'm thinking Thompson, but like – I just mix it up. See what works. Get Trent into him, then give Demonte to be physical with him. Because, you know, Ivy's a big dude, but he's 6'4", 195. Demonte's just as big as him. And that length can really, you know, bother him. Unless Brad thinks, you know, Trent's our guy, we go with him, and we have Demonte just shadowing Sasha Stevanovich. Like, that would be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, it will be an interesting decision to make. And I do thinking about Ivy, you better take care of the ball, because transition opportunities, you want to watch him on SportsCenter. Or if you don't want to watch him on SportsCenter, you gotta take care of the ball, because him going end-to-end is – it looks like John Morant sometimes.
The other thing we got to think about is, I mean, I expect Kofi to play 30-plus minutes if he's not in foul trouble. He's got to be locked in defensively, but you're going to get some key Omar Payne minutes. Yep. Whether Trevion comes in or Zach Edey comes in off the bench, it's going to be interesting to see how that matches up too. It's going to be a fun game. I mean, this is going to be, I think, the Big Ten game of the year. I mean, you got another matchup late in the season, but so far – this is the Big Ten matchup to watch. And I think for Purdue, they need this game. I don't know if Illinois needs this game, but if Illinois does win this game, boy, they're setting a ridiculous pace here early on. 7-0 to start. You get 3.5 games of separation with Purdue, and you're forcing Michigan State to be like, all right, now you guys got to beat some good teams, because Michigan State hasn't really beat anybody in the Big Ten. They've had, like Illinois, an easy schedule with Minnesota, Penn State, Nebraska, Northwestern. So they're going to get their tough test coming up, including Illinois on the road.
Yeah, the prove-it test of at Wisconsin and at Illinois. And in terms of, like, the standings and counting wins, beating Purdue wouldn't say you're running away with this, because obviously Michigan State's still in the mix, Wisconsin. But the idea of potentially giving the kill shot to that good of a – that's still a really good Purdue team, and there would still be a lot of basketball to be played. But putting them that far behind the eight ball in the middle of January, that's saying a lot if you're able to execute that. So, and then I think, you know, metrics-wise, another quad one opportunity – you win that game, you're probably top five in the net. I think you're like 10th or 11th now. I think you would climb quite a bit with that kind of a win.
And I know the rankings come out the exact same time as the game starts, but like, you beat Purdue and then you take care of business, you know, at Maryland, right? Like, that's not a great Maryland team. I think we know that. They gave Illinois some fits, but all of a sudden next week, I mean, I think Illinois would be top 20 this week. I mean, it depends on who loses in front of them. But, like, there's no doubt they're a top 20 team. But you beat Purdue, I think we're starting to talk about Illinois back in that national contention. Like, all of a sudden, I think people are going to vote them top 12, top 10 in the rankings. We'll see how high they would get, but that's what we'd be talking about. Like, this is the moment for Illinois, for you Illinois fans who think they're underranked, all that. And I agree with you. This is your moment to prove it and to capture that national attention again.
Yeah, certainly. And there would be no real argument there. You would say that you had a major test, that the fact that you would have won, what would that be, 12 out of 13, I think, at that point. And, I mean, you go back and do some of the – this was, for Brad Underwood, 20 of 21 against Big Ten opponents, which is just unreal.
I wrote about it earlier this week just because it's like they're in a freaking golden era of Illinois basketball. So – I understand, like, I'm not trying to talk down to fans, but it's like, you can get upset about the rankings and all that, but just, like, enjoy the heck out of this, because, like, you are having one of the best runs Illinois basketball has ever had in the Big Ten. And I don't think this Big Ten, this season, is, like, as good as it has been in recent years, but it's still pretty freaking good, and they're winning this. Like, what did they win, 8 in a row at home in the Big Ten? I think 7 in a row on the road. Like, it's ridiculous what they're doing right now. So kudos to Brad Underwood. Like, I know the schedule hasn't been tough. You're going to have plenty of opportunities to do it. But this is the third straight year, man. Illinois is in the top of the Big Ten. And for how many years, Derek, are we sitting there talking about can they make a run at the tournament? Yeah. Like, this is a no-doubt NCAA tournament team. And in my mind, it's a no-doubt probably top 4 seed It's just how good will they be? Will they get a banner? Will they get a Big Ten banner? And will they make a deep run in March? Like, that's a lot of fun to be talking about.
Yeah, it is. And it will determine how it ultimately is remembered. But, yeah, this is a stretch that's similar to, and again, like early 2000s had Big Ten titles and deep runs, especially the one in Elite Eight and then Final Four. Can this team do that? It's still a lot to be proven, but that's on the table, and that's what's really exciting about it. And it, to circle it back to this matchup, the fact that what apparently annoys Hunter Dickinson is that Illinois fans act like they're a powerhouse. Well, you beat Purdue, and you're at the top of the league at 7-0, and you've won 21 out of 22 against Big Ten opponents. You're a powerhouse.
They have been. I mean, for 3 years, that's why I think – you know, I was talking with a Michigan beat writer going back and forth on Twitter, Zach Shaw, who does a really good job for a 24/7 site. And Illinois fans, like, get after Michigan fans and all that. And that's fandom, right? Like, but the reason they cared so much about that banner and why Whitman cared so much about that banner is, unlike Michigan, who's been winning Big Ten titles, Derek, like, those banners don't mean as much. For Illinois, it's been 16 years since they've had one of those. That's why that Big Ten tournament meant so much to people, meant so much for this program, is like, that was a we're back statement. And that's why people wanted a share of that and thought they deserved it. And they did. But not going back to that argument, but like, they knew the rules. But I think the Big Ten could have adjusted, just like they adjusted a lot of things. But that's why it matters so much. And that's why Illinois now wants to crawl under Michigan's skin, because it's like, we're here now. Feel us in Michigan. The last year has felt Illinois, and to them, Michigan doesn't think about Illinois. Illinois certainly thinks about Michigan. So I think Michigan's fans probably getting upset about Illinois. Good. That means it's going to be a rivalry, because I think under Juwan Howard, Michigan's going to continue to be really good. This is a down year. The COVID issues have not helped them, but they'll probably get Houston back for another year. Could Diabate come back for another year? That team's going to be a powerhouse, right? They're just recruiting talent so well. And Illinois, they're going to take a step back next year, losing Trent, losing Diabate, and potentially Kofi too. But they're still going to be good. They're still going to be good at the top of this Big Ten. So I love it. Add me more of this rivalry. Give me more of the Illinois-Iowa matchups, man. It's been so fun to see that develop, because Illinois matters again.
Yeah, and Illinois-Iowa was fantastic. And it's not over yet. You still have the fan bases disliking each other, and just Fran playing a great role as a character in that. And I think Hunter does the same thing. Yeah, I think he rightfully annoys Illinois fans and has said some things that they don't like, but that's made it more entertaining. And he's been open about it, about this rivalry, and some of the Illinois players, Coleman Hawkins, has done as well. You got to have to perform a little bit more. They're gonna make you pay for that, but – this is a good feeling for Illinois when you matter. It shows that you matter when you're tussling with Penn State and DJ Newbill however many years ago.
The Rutgers Classic.
Oh, the Rutgers Classic. Yeah, that's it's a different world.
Yeah, it's definitely different to be at the top here. Well, for Derek Piper, I'm Jeremy Warner. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. We'll have plenty of content coming up later. A big night for Illinois football with recruiting, a junior day. I'll have some follow-ups on some Illinois visitors for that as well at IlliniInquirer.com. But give us a follow wherever you get your podcast. Give us a rating review. That always helps us out as well. Everybody have a great night. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.